It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 302. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or suggestions for show topics. I have a stack of email to get to tonight. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. Got a lot of voicemails tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450. Also, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. The wiki, mtswiki.com. If you're new to the show, that's a great place to begin on getting to the archives. So there's 301 other shows that you can download and listen. Actually, more than that because of links to my appearances on Computer America, Tech Vets. Yes, Carrie and I recorded Tech Vets show number 44 last night. Great show, great audio quality. Looking forward to posting it up. That should be posted up this weekend. I'm really going to try to get to it Friday night and get that posted up so we can get back on track with Tech Vets. Now, I know for a fact there'll be no Tech Vets next week because I'm actually traveling for the 3 days, and then I'll be back, and then Thursday night, the next Mike Tech Show, get ready for my friend Dave the Rave, will be here for the post show. I know a lot of you are looking forward to that. That's lots of fun, and I am going to record that separately, and you'll be able to view that on Ustream. I have a lot of other announcements, so let's take care of business. Every company is looking at ways to save money. And GoToMeeting has a service that can help you save money because you will save on the time and traveling that it, all the expenses that goes with going to a meeting, all of those traveling expenses. How about having presentations where everybody can just easily go to one place, GoToMeeting.com, you log in, one click, and you can hold a meeting, show presentations, demonstrate a product, do collaboration. It's fantastic. Once you use it, you don't ever want to go back and use anything else. I've used it. It's a great service. I've used it to demo products and demo software. You've seen me do it as part of the Tech Podcast Roundtable. Well, you can get GoToMeeting free for 30 days by just going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. All right. A couple more announcements. The Trenton Computer Festival, that is April 24th. I will be presenting at, I think it's like 10:15 in the morning on how to improve your PC. Join me at the Trenton State College on Saturday, April 24th, if you can, if you're in the area. Also, Carrie asked me to co-host any day of the first week of May while Craig is on vacation for Computer America. So I picked Tuesday night, May 4th. I will be co-hosting Computer America with Carrie. It's very rare for a Tuesday night. I figured I'm making sure I'm off Wednesday morning. Hey, get your questions. If you want to ask Carrie and I, look for the phone number, and we'll have it posted for calling in live, maybe on May 4th, and joining Carrie and I live on the air and ask your question and have Carrie and I tackle it. One of my new purchases, and this is a great way for me to describe what I purchase with the proceeds for maybe you using my Amazon link. Here's one of them. It's the HP ProCurve 1810G 24-port gigabyte switch, but this is a managed switch. This is not unmanaged. And this is a true layer 2 switch. I just logged into my ProCurve switch. I gave it an address, an IP address of just, 192.168.1.254. Now, one of the things with a smart switch, when you receive it, you have to take a PC, assign it a very specific IP address because it comes with an IP address, and you don't want to put this on your network yet. You need to configure your PC with a static IP address, take the network cable, plug it into the switch, and now you can call it up because the switch was like 10.1.1.10 or something like that. It had a very unique IP address. And now you can manage the switch. One of the first things I did, and when you get a smart switch, go online, look it up on the site, and see what the firmware is. My firmware was like P.1.14, and I noticed they were up to 1.7 now. So I quickly followed the instructions and went to the maintenance section, and after I downloaded my latest firmware, you just go to the update manager, and it was very easy to just pick HTTP, browse for the file, and then update the firmware. It was very easy. A lot of you who are just listening to the podcast, you can't see what I'm showing everybody who's live in the chat. It is an actual representation of the switch, and I can actually go to a port that is in use, and there's a green light that represents what ports are in use, and it tells me the exact speed of which that port is operating. I can get the statistics from that port. One of the things that we can look at, like port 1 here, if we look at port 1, we'll go to the status port summary, and this is all of the ports, and it's 100 meg full duplex. Well, that is the Xbox 360. That's what the kids are on right now. And, I could so mess with them by, like, right-clicking on this port and, like, disabling it, and then you would hear screams from the other room. Well, we're not going to do that. But it gives you the kind of control that you can have. I can actually create a virtual network, a VLAN, and assign some of these ports to that VLAN. In the VLAN, you can now segregate traffic from a couple ports from the rest of the switch. So let's say I wanted to create a test network, and I was doing some work with a couple of these ports, and I don't want them to interfere with the rest of the switch. I can segregate that. That's very important in a lot of businesses for segregating traffic for compliance. There are so many options here for a home switch that it's beyond what you would need for a home switch. But if it's a switch that you would be recommending for small offices where you can really flex your muscles and have some real control here, there's even two ports where you could have fiber uplinks, or you can leave them as copper, and they're the last two ports in the 24-port switch. So you could use them either or, a copper wire connection or fiber. Having this kind of switch in my home office gives me an advantage of being able to work with a managed switch at home that I can recommend for a lot of businesses. It wasn't that expensive. It was $340. Now, for a switch at home, that's a lot of money. I know that. Would I have bought this without my Amazon proceeds? Probably not. That's why you got to make, is it worth it? Are you going to make more money by being able to have a switch like this because maybe you can sell them? I'm going to turn it into that, where I'm going to use the experience of this switch and be able to recommend switches like this and with greater capabilities. And it will help me to be able to then extend those kind of services to my client. And that's what's very important. If it can help you be better with your client, why not? that's one of the things that I wanted to let you know that I do with affiliate advertising money and proceeds. I put it back into the show to help make my network better, my equipment better when I can, which it 10 relates to better content for you, higher quality shows, and that's what I'm trying to do. And if at the same time I'm learning and then in helping my, you know, enhancing my skill set with networking, perfect. It's win, 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 win. And they're the scenarios I want to create. And I just wanted to just take a moment and share with you, you know, some of the items. I will link that to Amazon. And if you have the money and the availability to do that, I highly recommend it. It's a great managed switch. And I wish I could take the credit for that particular model. But Winston Wolf, who you know, I speak about a lot. Him and I do work together consulting, and we talk a lot. He recommended that switch. And there's one other thing I need to add. It is whisper quiet. And when you get into managed switches, usually there's fans in there and there's big things that make lots of noise. This thing is quiet. It is on, and you wouldn't believe how close it is to this microphone, and you don't even hear it. And that was another requirement. Now, data centers and closets that you don't care about, you can have noisy switches. When you're in a house that you need it quiet because you're recording a podcast or doing something like I'm doing, or you don't want that annoying sound, that was an extra advantage. I was ready to pull the trigger on a less expensive D-Link switch that was quiet, but it wasn't managed. And just for a few dollars more, getting a managed switch that was even quieter, wow, that hit all the requirements. So don't forget about HP products. They are very, very good, especially in the switches. And I tend to forget them because I love HP servers. And you kind of forget that they're in the switch market too. Keep that in mind. I have a problem that I want to talk about. You heard me mention the SSL certificate. Well, I finally got the SSL certificate after just an ugly Monday with the hosting company, who I can't believe did not understand how to create. I can't believe a hosting company could not create a CNAME record for me in DNS because we didn't have control to be able to do it. It took me all day. Finally, third tier support, who was very apologetic and embarrassed that tier one and tier two couldn't handle this request, they got it done and they created that CNAME record that allowed GoDaddy to verify that my client really does own that domain. They issued the SSL certificate. I took it. I applied it to the server. This is Small Business Server 2003. Once I invoked it, applied it in IIS, I was able to go to the website where they do remote desktop connections, and I was able to go HTTPS. Beautiful. Works. I'm like, all right. Well, HTTP worked. So I needed to disable the ability for HTTP to work. So there's a little checkbox. Let that get off. You know, check it off. Reapplied it. You have to remember that, and I did know this, there are three users that have smartphones that link back to the Exchange server to get their emails. So you would think that if you would redo the profile and now just check SSL, it would connect. No, of course it didn't. I have a problem. I had to go back and I had to allow HTTP access. So the SSL certificate is there, but I broke the smartphone's ability to communicate back to Exchange. I need help. If someone has experience with applying an SSL certificate to an Exchange server after the fact, not from the beginning, but they decide it later to apply SSL, and you have mobile phones to deal with, where one of them is an iPhone, another one is using ActiveSync. I need to be able to make it where it's only SSL for compliance sake. So I ask for your assistance, please contact me. Email my phone number that I give in the show. Any way you can. If you can lend some assistance to me, I will definitely make it worth your while. How's that? We'll just leave it at that. I will take care of you. There's the incentive. Moving on, a question that when I logged into Skype and getting ready to record Tech Vets last night, I was like, wow, I got voicemails. There were some messages. So I caught up and I'm going to get to the voicemails in a second. But there was a message that asked me, Mike, how do I add a picture to my podcast? So how do I do that? And he wants to know. When you download, you get my MP3 and you have my picture there. How do I do that? It's very simple. You have two methods that I've used, and I'll give you the one I currently use. The old method was when I was in XP, there's a program called Audio Shell, and I've mentioned that in some older shows. This is a free program that integrates into your Windows shell and allows you to then edit ID tags. So once you install this free program, any audio file you can right click and say edit the ID tag. And in there, you get a list of a whole bunch of items you can edit. One of them is to add album artwork. That's where I link to a picture and it incorporates it into the MP3, and that's what you see when you download. That was the early days in XP. As a program that I often talk about for doing my audio compression is called DB Power Amp. Well, newer versions have incorporated into your shell the ability to edit an ID tag. So I do that now with my Windows 7 setup since I own DB Power Amp. It adds that capability. I just right-click on my MP3 file after I've done the compression from WAV to MP3. I edit the tag. There's an option to add the album artwork. I point to my picture, and it incorporates it into the MP3. It's as simple as that. I'll have links to both of those programs in the show notes. We have some comments and some questions, so sit back. I will answer and respond to each one of these.
Hi, Mike. This is John Winstanley from Hull in Northern England. Mike, just wanted to say what a fantastic show 300 it was. The introduction, the montage, brought back some great memories and made me realize just how long I've been listening to the excellent Mike Tech show. And hearing Barb's April 1st edition of the show again was fantastic. The first time you played it, I wondered quite what was going on, but after 2 or 3 minutes I was absolutely hooked and listened right the way through. So again, thanks for 300 fantastic shows. And by the way, the best link ever from the Mike Tech show, as far as I'm concerned, was the link to the LibreKey portable app suite. Great, that's brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. He mentioned LibreKey. That's a great link of a whole bunch of utilities, and I will find that and post that in the and put it up in the show notes. Here's another one from someone who's actually not in the chat tonight, but he's always here.
Hello, Mike. This is Kevin, otherwise known as Reliant, in the chat room from Akron, Ohio, wishing you a very well-deserved and very well-done job on your 300th podcast. May you get to number 1,000. When that will happen, only the calendar will tell us. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Kevin, for that. And Kevin's Reliant in the chat. He actually sent me a question and a link tonight. He can't make it for the chat, but he's usually there. So thank you very much for that, Kevin. Here's an interesting one.
Hi, Mike. Alistair Christie here, calling in from Edinburgh in Scotland. I've just been listening to show 300, and after listening to many, many Mike Tech shows, I thought it was about time I got in touch just to let you know how much I enjoy the show. I remember the first few times I heard the show, and I hope you won't mind me saying this, but I was fascinated and intrigued by your accent. I've never heard anything quite like it before, and you're probably thinking the same about mine. Now, of course, I'm used to it, so I never really think about it anymore, but I still don't know what that accent is or where you're from. I'm sure it's obvious to all your US listeners, but for those of us outside the US, maybe you could explain what that accent is. I'd really love to know. Anyhow, the main thing I wanted to say was I have learned a ton of stuff from listening to the Mike Tech Show over the last few years, and I'm really impressed you've kept up a steady output of shows through some ups and downs, and always with great content. So, Mike, thanks again. Bye for now. Now, you might want to cut this bit out, Mike, and that's fine. I completely understand. But I've got this podcast called the IT Author Podcast, and it's a now and again type of thing I do when I can find the time. And although it's mainly about technical writing, which is what I do for a living, I did a show recently about the history of RSS, and I just thought that some of your listeners might be interested in it. So if anyone wants to know about how we got feed aggregators and podcasting and so on, head over to itauthor.com, click on the podcast archive link, and have a listen to show 33 all about RSS. But listen, Mike, thanks again for providing great free content. I'm looking forward to the next 300 shows. Good luck with your business and everything you're doing. All the best. Bye for now.
Alistair, thank you so much for that. And also, good luck with your podcast. And I am absolutely downloading and listening to that show and all of your shows. But I'm going to begin with the RSS show. And I recommend everybody to do that. So thank you. And I'm glad you put that in there. And of course, I absolutely left that in the podcast here. Well, you ask a question about my accent. And I used to get this when I started out podcasting. And it was always be from someone from another country. I was born and raised in Southwest Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania. And very close to the East Coast and New Jersey and the Atlantic Ocean and New York. Not what your typical Northeast accent, where a lot of people will think of Boston, New York. I don't have that accent, but this is a Philadelphia accent. And I wouldn't say South Philadelphia because there's more of a hey yo, you know, type of thing from coming from South Philadelphia, but I'm Southwest Philadelphia, and yes, you have different little dialects just within Philadelphia. You have your Northeast, your Northwest, your North Philly, your South Philly. Mine is Southwest Philadelphia, Southeastern Pennsylvania, in the Northeast corridor of the United States. So hope that helps. On to a question from Mark.
Mike, this is Mark from Dallas. I have a question. I'm hoping it's not too late for the show. I needed to, just a refresher on what shows to review on some good tips on speeding up Windows when it's gotten slow. My mom's running XP. I'm also curious as to if would any of that work on Windows 7. But right now, my goal is Windows XP because my mom's system definitely needs help. If you could just comment a little bit on that, since I just don't have time to go reviewing all the shows, unfortunately, I would greatly appreciate that help. Thanks again for so much of your help and all the listeners as well, and appreciate all y'all's contributions. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Mark, good question, and I'm going to surprise you and everybody else with my answer. The best shows that I can recommend and link were recorded by Carrie Holzman and myself in some early Tech Vets episodes. I believe it's episode 2 and maybe episode 4. I am going to link those podcasts where one of the shows, we do exactly what you're asking for. We take you step by step on how to improve the performance of your PC using two free utilities that you might not have heard of. And as a matter of fact, it's a shame you're in Dallas and you can't come by the Trenton Computer Festival, because these are two utilities I'm going to demonstrate on April 24th. One is the Glary Utilities at glarysoft.com, and the other one is PC Fixer. We go in to all those options. They will absolutely help improve performance of your computer. Then we have a show where we have the ultimate checklist on tuning up your PC. And there's an actual PDF file that I put together with all the links of all the utilities that we talk about in that show. Again, I think another must listen. So two shows that are very concise and specific on tuning your PC, improving performance. You will absolutely benefit from those shows. And it's not to take away from the Mike Tech Show, but I have specific shows, but I also cover a lot of things within one particular show. Like tonight, I'm covering a little bit about networking, a little bit. You know, I go with the flow with the voicemail, the email, and sometimes I get specific. Like I talked about the city utilities for scripts to help document a network. I do specific shows, but I wanted to key on those two particular Tech Vet shows because they are, I was going to say worth their weight in gold, but they really are good. And I very, very proud of that content because we've gotten so much feedback and we know it has helped users and all of our listeners improve performance, which is what we're doing here. This is what this is about. It's tips and tricks to help make you more productive. And increasing performance is going to make you more productive. Let's get to some email. This is from Scott, and it's Firefox cutting me off of YouTube. Hey, Mike, I've noticed a really strange problem on my system lately. I am running a Mac with Firefox 3.6.3. It's the latest. For some reason, whenever I am on YouTube, either browsing or watching a video, Firefox will suddenly cut me off after a few minutes and redirect me to my homepage, which is google.com. The ever strangest thing is I cannot use the back button to return me to the page I was on. So I will be on a page, it will take me away from it, and then I can't get back to it. It's really bizarre. It only happens on YouTube. I also went into the Firefox preferences, and under Advanced General, there is a checkbox for Firefox to warn the user and prevent any redirect or reloads unless the user allows it. This setting blocks it for other pages, but not for this YouTube kickoff bug. Any ideas? Thanks. Yes, actually, one idea, when I hear someone with a problem in viewing a video, the first thing I want to make sure is your flash updated. And while you're doing that, go to Adobe.com. Remember to uncheck all of the junk that they're going to try to install. Load the latest Adobe Flash. It's 10 dot something. Then you'll have to restart your browser. Go back to Adobe. Load the latest Shockwave. Go to Java.com and make sure you got your latest Java. Now your browsing experience, you've just taken care of three things that can impact you when you're going to a browser. Now, since you mentioned Firefox, you don't mention how many extensions you have. Could you have some extensions that's interfering? Maybe you need to uninstall or disable a bunch of extensions and start to see what's happening. I think there is a way to start Firefox in safe mode, which it does not load any extensions. That might be worth a try, and then go back and try to view that and see what happens. But do those things, then get back to me and let's see if any of them help. And if you have any other recommendations, please let me know and I will mention them on the next show and I will pass them along to Scott. Dante. Hi, Mike. I'm a regular listener of your podcast and have a question for the Mike Tech Show or Tech Vets. What is the best solution to back up several computers of a small office network? I just started servicing this company. They have 6 workstations and no server. They have entertained the thought of a Microsoft server for file sharing, but that's pretty much it. They are all basic users. Should they go with full-fledged servers? If that is all they're going to use it for file sharing, they do use one of the workstations, XP Pro, as a place to store most of the files, centralized and shared. Backup is their main concern, and I thought about Windows Home Server or Shadow Protect for each computer. But what are your thoughts for a situation like this? Well, Windows Home Server will definitely fit the bill. That's a great idea. But if security, you don't need to go a full-blown server if security is not an issue. If they just have some simple shared files and they have it on an XP Pro workstation, I recommend getting an external drive, getting multiple external drives that they can rotate and use Shadow Protect, do a full backup once a week, and then do an incremental at least once a night. And those incrementals are much, much smaller. And then swap out the drive once a week, or if you're doing incrementals every night, you can't take the drive away every night, because one of the things Shadow Protect does when there's no full backup, if it can't see a full backup on the drive, it automatically does a full backup, whether it's supposed to do an incremental or not. It must see the full backup on the drive of the latest full, and then it'll do the incremental. Shadow Protect for the desktop is a lot less expensive than the server version. Home Server, definitely. I've done a show on it in the past. It's very easy. It's hard to beat that price for what you get and the capabilities of backing up all the workstations, because what I just described with backing up at a central spot, you're only backing up the data and that one system. How do you get all your systems backed up for a full restore? And I think Windows Home Server really is the answer. And just make sure you have lots and lots of hard drive space, you know, many terabyte drives loaded, so you can back up the full desktop. Then you need a way to back up the Windows Home Server. So keep that in mind. And that can get costly, because Shadow Protect to back up Windows Home Server, and I don't even know if it does, it's more of a server version of the software than it is the desktop version. So it will cost a lot of money. That's something that Microsoft needs to solve. An easy way to back up Windows Home Server. And I think there's some utilities out there. I might have even mentioned some in the past that help you do it, but I've never went through that process and those utilities. And I put a call out there to Daniel and some of my other Windows Home Server users. Hey, what's a good way to back itself up? And Microsoft Small Biz Specialist says that there is something in place for some HP tricks. And I know HP has a self-contained sort of appliance of a Windows Home Server where you can get the hardware and software. Take a look at that and let me know what path you go down. I would certainly start out by having everything backed up from that 1XP Pro desktop, then take it from there for trying to get all of the systems. But remember, it's just hard drive space. You need lots and lots of hard drive space, and hard drives are cheap right now. You can go on Newegg and Amazon and get a terabyte drive under $100. So very inexpensive, and let me know how you make out. This is from Jorge. We need some help. And it what's interesting, it's really a comment from Kate that makes Jorge reach out to me. Hi, Mike. See comments below from Kate. I'm not an RSS expert. How in the world do I fix this? Is there something in FeedBurner or WordPress? I need some help. And this is from Kate to Jorge. I noticed at the bottom of all the pages, at least all of the ones I looked at, the link to the RSS feed is broken, and Firefox complains. And there's pictures here. I'm not an RSS expert. It's interesting that Alistair, you know, it might be here, definitely is. I know WordPress has a default RSS feed. I don't think that you've played with that and changed that, because I know I helped you set up WordPress. I don't know why and how something got broke. Did you edit something? Did you edit some of the pages, the individual pages that might have broken the RSS connection? I'm not sure. So we're going to have to take a look at this. Kate says the comments feed is fine, and the main feed is hooped. We're going to have to take it step by step. First, I definitely have to take a look at those pages, and I am going to look at that, see where the error can be coming from, and we're going to have to pull in an RSS WordPress guy here. If you are a WordPress RSS person, you know, raise your hand by sending me an email. Let me know so I can kind of send you the pictures, and let's help Jorge, who I deeply thank for the donation of the prizes of the phone and the Switch that were successfully received by the winners from show 300. As a matter of fact, they received them only a couple days after the show. I got a great email back from one of the winners saying how professionally packaged the Switch was, and you are very welcome, because that was moi who packaged it. Okay, we got a couple more. Joshua, Mike, I just wanted to send you a note to let you know how much I have been enjoying your show. I just found the show a few weeks ago, and it really is great to listen to. The City software that I heard you talking about has been a huge hit at my company. None of us like documentation work, but this makes it so easy and saves so much time. It makes our customers happy. Keep up the great show, and thank you. Well, thank you very much for that. This is a couple pages. It's a long email, and it is from a MS small business specialist in the chat, and I want to get to it. The FCC, Comcast, and net neutrality. He sent this April 9th. Last week in the post show, we touched briefly in chat on the FCC Comcast ruling, and I thought I'd share my thinking on this, as it's clearly something more users need to be aware and informed of. Basically, most of us know this story goes back to Comcast playing around with bandwidth throttling of certain services such as BitTorrent. The FCC stood up and said their authority extended into the ISP's network, and they ordered Comcast to treat all traffic equal. On the surface, this sounds great, and many a tech pundit is screaming at the courts for slapping down the FCC's order, but I disagree, and am glad to see the courts ruled this way. I will try to say this quickly, and if you decide to put this on the air, you can paraphrase as needed. Now, I'm going for the whole thing here. In my opinion, allowing any agency to judge for themselves how far their authority extends is a very bad thing. I couldn't agree with you more on that. In this case of the FCC, we have a closed group that meets in closed meetings making decisions, and I, for one, do not want my access to the internet to be governed this way. What the courts have done is simply put the decision back in the hands of Congress, where hopefully we all have some say, but more importantly, if something isn't done the way we want, we have recourse to try and get it changed. One might ask, though, what's wrong with saying all internet traffic has to be the same? And the problem with that is it was the FCC who was determining that. Because of the so-called fairness doctrine, as well as the new chief diversity SAR, the FCC could have ruled that because Rush Limbaugh buys a ton of bandwidth and could provide live video of his show, yet some opposing liberal show can't afford the same bandwidth, then the ISPs have to slow down my viewing of Rush to match the bandwidth of the liberal show. By the way, I don't watch Rush, just using the extreme example. If that's too political, then bring it down to TV over IP and Comcast buying NBC. Should Comcast be required to slow down all NBC programming, which they host and own to their customers, because Halogen Networks has very limited bandwidth? Of course, here comes Google, and let's say I get their high-speed fiber, and I use Google Apps. Should my connection to Gmail be slowed down because AOL email can't run as fast, or my access to Google Docs be reduced because accessing Microsoft BPOS data has to travel further to get to me? At the same time, should Google be able to slow down, say, Vimeo because Google has YouTube and doesn't want you visiting the competition? Basically, it boils down to who is the judge and who sets the rules. I think a DC commission with little or no oversight is not who should be deciding what the rules are and how to apply them, and more importantly, not who should be ruling on a day-to-day basis, who is following the rules and who is not. My two cents. These are great points. And as a follow-up, this is interesting. Just as I write you about my concerns of the FCC being the lone ranger in charge of the internet and how the court striking the FCC down was a good thing, there are reports now that the FCC may move ahead and do exactly what I feared. He has some links here, which I'll include. If they do this, the FCC can take control over the content found on the internet. They can say for every right-wing political site, there has to be a liberal one. For every church site, there has to be a porn site. They can say your website violates some obscure FCC telecommunications rule and take you down with no recourse whatsoever. Some very interesting thoughts that I had to share with you that you really should listen to. Take a look at these links, and I thank you for sending that in and your thoughts. I really appreciate that. And you know what? I don't have to say any more to that. That's it for the tech content. I do have some independent music lined up, and this is music that I have played in the past, and it's from an artist called Krista Kocher, and the song is Day 4. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
I cannot sit still. I will twitch. I will travel. I am leaving what remains of me. As I unravel, I wander through the side streets. Fell in love with Amsterdam, and we weave through the canals as the night across my hand. Sounds of early morning, I am sleepless and inspired. I'm swimming in the city's heat, I'm feeling the fire. It's an insight, it's the twilight found somewhere in between. The flight across the ocean and a pot infused dream, and here I go.
I am a bluebird.
And here I go.
I am a blackbird.
And here I go. Tells me.
Krista Kocher and the song Day Four. I will have a link to her website on garageband.com. Don't forget, you're buying something from Amazon, you know somebody that's buying something from Amazon, you got Mother's Day coming up, I know you're going to be buying things from Amazon, come by miketechshow.com, click on the Amazon link on the right hand side and make your purchase and donate to the show. You don't have to do anything. I will get a portion of that, a percentage. And your price is the same. Also, the continue to support Steve Cherubino and myself by buying those great videos. If you want to repair a laptop, oh, what a great gift for somebody on laptop repair videos. If you know someone of a birthday or some event coming up and that geek in your life that wants to learn how to repair laptops, it's great. And the links are right on my website. Also, how to set up a tech website. Let's say your spouse, you know someone that's struggling with that website. This is the great set of videos to buy and to be able to learn how to do all that. I can't say anymore. They're fantastic, and I really appreciate the support, and I know Steve does. That's it. Thank you so much for downloading the show. And remember all the things I talked about in the beginning. There's so many things happening where I know I'm going to have a Philly Tech Guys coming up, appearance on Computer America coming up. There's just so many tech vets. There's lots of ways to find me and all this other great tech talent. So thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.